Okay, we're reconvening. This next section is going to be... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Taguma. Okay, we have a number of action items, and then we have some new business. And this is going to be our light speed portion of the agenda. And I hope that if any of these motions are going to require substantial debate, I'm going to recommend that someone make a motion for referral that we go straight to that vote. I'll take one and one unless there's an objection. And if the vote to referral fails, we vote on the motion. We do not have time for significant debate on these items. Mary.
Point of information. I had thought that we said yesterday that those support items, I think there was five, so whatever, we're going to be treated like a consent calendar.
Yes,
unless somebody pulled any of them.
But there's much more going on than that. We'll come to that in new business.
Okay.
Yes, that is what we're going to do. But we have a great deal of business. What we have is four motions on finance from finance.
Right.
I'm recommending 20 minutes for the entirety. If we do well, we may not use that much. We have the bylaws amendment vote to change the number of meetings. I'm recommending 15 minutes. I'm also recommending a special rule of order on the meeting schedule to provide for allowing us to hold the second PMB meeting in April if we wish. That can be done with a special rule of order. If the bylaws amendment passes the full process, it moots that, but that's going to be important. Otherwise, we have to meet again within 7 weeks. The next thing is the Democracy Now! Negotiation, and I hope whoever wanted to raise that will have a motion ready on the topic. Then we're going to need to schedule our next two meetings, i.e. the February teleconference and our next in-person meeting, which is going to be in D.C., because D.C. needs to make we need to get that information to them so they can make preparations. Then we're going to go into new business where we have those motions that where each of the political statements that were raised. We also have, I believe, are going to have a motion relating to a job description that requires certain able-bodiedness, and I hope that motion will be prepared, and a motion on confidentiality from Wandawa. So I would like to propose that we have 20 minutes for the Finance Committee, 15 minutes for the Bylaws Amendment, 15 minutes for the Special Rules of Order on Meeting Schedule, 15 minutes on Democracy Now! Negotiation, 15 minutes on the next on the scheduling of the next two meetings, and then the remaining time for new business. Is that acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we'll proceed on that basis. The time now is 12:56. A minute ago it was 12:55, so we have 19 minutes for Finance. LaVarne is the chair of the Finance Committee. LaVarne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Finance Committee, as I've said, we meet regularly, and I have a distribution there, so the names are there briefly. Williams, Goodman from LA. Casey McFaul is the outgoing LA speech raiser for K. Dave Adelson from K. Teresa Allen is an outgoing director from T. Baruti Bediako is the WBI treasurer. Brian Edwards Teekert is the LSV treasurer from KBFA. Jane Gatewood, the LSV treasurer from W. Patty Heffley is the outgoing WBI director. Lonnie Hicks, the CFO of the foundation. Ambrose Lane from W. Sandra Rawline, who was the former treasurer, and now she's the director on the Finance Committee. Bertolt Reimers from WBAI is the new director, and Barb Sanborn from KPFT, the LSV treasurer. So those are the people who have served on the committee. And what we have here is basically a lot of the goals that we have for this year, and a lot of them are consistent with some of the issues that we have discussed and the needs that we have discussed over the last 2 days. So I'm just going to go over a couple of them. There's a list there that you can go through. And one of the major... ones, as we have talked about this before, is working with we'd like to work with the Archives Committee to generate a method to fund the archive restoration project utilizing off-air fundraising. And this would be a revision to the PNB motion authorizing income transfers from the stations whose source of funds is primarily on-air fundraising. And this would be a major project for this year, and hopefully we could carry the project through to the following years. And another one that was on our list is that, and we've talked about this in terms of the audit, is to review and provide to the Finance Policies and Procedures Manual and provide input to the Policies and Procedures Manual, and specifically looking at the chart of accounts that must be utilized consistently across all finance areas, and also a foundation-wide signature authorization level for bank and investment accounts for expenses, for capital, and headcount. And that just simply means that in order to do those things, there would be a signature level in terms of what your position is, how much you can actually sign for. And like expenses, you can sign up to maybe 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 based on your level and the signature document. And another is that, just briefly, looking at, since finance is always looking at cost and how we can reduce cost in an effective way that does not undermine the work of the foundation. And one is that we would like to put in place that each location would reduce their P&B meeting expense by a minimum of 10%. Like Houston, I'm not just saying it because I'm here, they've done a great job in terms of reducing costs, bringing in food so that really reduce the cost to the foundation. And that we're saying that what we would do with some of the savings is actually use that in terms of outreach and helping the stations to do outreach through our savings. And the other thing we wanted to talk about, and this was kind of shocking, is that all of us, I guess, need to understand that we are a foundation and that we cannot really be excess in terms of our expenses, and that, you know, each director, you know, have to be responsible for any additional expenses beyond any everyday normal expenses, like, you know, phone calls charged to your hotel room, extra stays in hotels, early arrivals, late reservations, things like that. And the other really important thing is that we talk some about responsibilities, is that we've passed a motion to implement a headcount, quarterly headcount reports, and that's not been done by every station. It's been done by KPFA, and we really need to have that. I mean, it's a motion. It needs to be implemented. And also, we know that we have had various issues concerning legal expenses, and we've talked about that in various venues, and that we need to have the CFO prepare a monthly report on legal expenses, look at what has occurred in the past, and also kind of project the current expenses. So those are some of the things we're working on. So I would like to move directly to the motions, and actually I would only like to present three motions, the first three, not the fourth one today. And the first motion is that we request that the PNB approves the recommendation that prior to the March PNB meeting, the CFO arrange a teleconference orientation meeting to include station business managers, LSB treasurers, and the National Finance Office staff regarding goals, procedures, RFP processes, chart of accounts uniformity, and budget planning. And this also would include, just to say, is the training and implementation of the Great Plains software that allows you to code your expenses by department. This is another issue that was brought up in the audit. So I can speak to this a little more, or if this is self-explanatory, or perhaps what I'd do is like share it, maybe have Liney really speak to it. And then, as Dave said, we can get two pro, two con concerning this motion.
Okay.
Point of information?
Yes.
Do we have these by email? Can you send these out?
I will send them by email.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so this is open for debate if we need to have debate. Ambrose?
Move.
Did you read all three already?
The second motion, the PNB shall not approve funding greater than $10,000 for initiatives outside of approved budgets without prior review by the PNB Finance Committee. The third one, the PNB, this is a clarification of a prior motion. The PNB approves that the Bank of New York corporate resolution be modified as follows. Section 4 to be changed to require two signatures, both the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer, and the Executive Director on the endowment account, and that the time restriction on authorization to be removed. Thank you.
The motion is for all three motions to be considered to be adopted. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I have to clarify, though. The wording of that final motion is incorrect. The double signing in Section 4 is not restricted to the endowment account. It's for all accounts.
No. Let me explain. We have on our action item to look at, when we in the March orientation, to look at the signature levels for all accounts, all types of areas across the network, and that until we look at that and have that consistent, we need to take care of this issue now.
That language was not what was approved by the Finance Committee.
That's
and it's
the language
not before
that's,
us.
It's, that's the language that's in the minutes that were prepared for me. So you might have different minutes?
That's not. Well, if that's in the minutes, we have to accept it. But,
absolutely.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is that the Section 4, there's two sections. One is check signing authority. That's Section 2. Section 4 is the ability to bind the corporation in any matter and to represent the corporation. And what the Finance Committee agreed to and the CFO agreed to was double signing authority in Section 4 on binding the corporation, i.e., if you want to take out a line of credit, open a new account, do anything. And it's not meaningful even to say bind it with respect to only a single account. And that is not what my memory at all of the Finance Committee resolution was.
I thought that's what we discussed at the last board meeting.
Exactly. We did discuss it at the last PNB meeting. And the point was that the overall signature authorization for all bank accounts must be reviewed. This is part of the March meeting. It has to be consistent. And we didn't have time, and nor did we take it up in the Finance Committee to look at the other banks that Pacifica Foundation has a business with.
Excuse me.
That's why we wanted to address this now to take care of this particular issue
and then
move forward.
The Secretary has pointed out to me that the written submission does not include the words of the endowment account. It simply says Section 4 be changed to require two signatures, mm-hmm. both the CFO and ED. That is my memory of the motion. That is what's written.
I added an endowment account because Section 4 is the endowment account. Let me just say something. This is pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. I think this is like, I think we should just go to and accept the motions. And Dave, you're on the Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. If it's not material to this motion, I would suggest that we take that in the Finance Committee and we move on.
No, it is absolutely material. The motion that came out of the committee is as written, and I am ruling it out of order to present as a Finance Committee resolution additional language not in the Finance Committee approved resolution.
Would you like to
appeal the ruling of the chair?
Go ahead. Point of order.
First of all, although I'm confused because I don't know this background, Dave, I think it would be inappropriate for you to rule on something where you actually participated in the argument. I think it has to go to the
Thank you very much. I'll yield the chair. And I raise a point of order.
Thank you very much, Thomas. You did a good job. You're glad to have the chair.
Matt, just speak so we can move forward. As your sheet shows that I did not have an endowment account on there. That was to clarify. I spoke to Liney. That was to clarify. We can just drop that because what you see is what was in the minutes that were presented by the Secretary Pro Tem who was taking the minutes at the time. So we'll just drop endowment account, although that explains what it is, but we'll just go with what the minutes said.
Point of information, we're back to exactly what's printed on
Exactly, page. Precisely.
Give me just a second here. I don't have that document here. What?
I gave you one.
No, I don't have one.
If that issue is not controversial, may I reassume the chair for the item?
Sure, please go ahead.
Is it all right? Yes, Lonnie.
Well,
I don't have it.
That is very important to be clear about what the intent of the motion is and the ramifications. But if we adopt it the way in this language, I just want to be clear about what we are in fact saying and what you had in mind.
A little bit louder, Lonnie?
Yeah, I want to be clear about what this may mean. I want to clarify intent, at least Dave's understanding, because I don't share it. My intent in introducing this motion was related to the PNB requirement on approving the Bank of New York. This is in the context of the Bank of New York corporate resolution. It is not for all bank accounts.
That's true.
Let me just finish that thought. Folks weren't privy to this conversation, so it's important to be clear. This is relating to only the Bank of New York corporate resolution or how many signatures will be required in connection with opening up a bank account at the Bank of New York in relation to their normal accounts and one special one, which is related to their capital campaign. They have received $20,000. And the requirement is that this board sign off on who has signature authority on all of the accounts at WBAI. Further clarification. The issue seems to be whether the two signatures will be required for the special capital campaign account. And my recommendation was yes. In order to move money on an endowment account, or in this case a capital account, which is set aside and restricted, you should require two signatures. And this is, as I understand it and intend it in my motion, that the CFO and the ED indeed should be two signatures to sign off on that account. As to the other accounts at WBI, their normal operating accounts, their normal fundraising accounts, there's two signatures there, but that would be the CFO and the general manager. So just to be clear about what this is all about. So sort of when the board votes, they sort of get a sense. This only relates to WBAI.
I have to yield the chair because I need to participate in the debate.
Just a second. Go ahead, Secretary.
I don't know or really care what all these things are, but when I write it down, I got to have the words in front of me. Mm-hmm. And the words I have in front of me right now is this, and it's something else.
It's
that.
It's exactly what I gave you.
Number one, two, and three.
Right.
Just trying to clarify what, for the board, what is involved. It's one bank account.
We're not changing the words. It's right there. He was clarifying.
So you're clarifying that item 3 only?
Item 3 only.
Okay, item 3. And the first section 4 is two
signatures. Please proceed.
Go ahead, Rhoda, if you have something.
It's just that I just see the time is passing, and I think Lonnie clarified, so I think that's sufficient. I think Dave has something he wants to say again.
I didn't have the benefit of the motion in front of me, so I just received it.
No, I had it. I gave it to
I
you.
I did not have it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have it now. Thank you.
No, I have it. So I had to. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave, if you want.
There are two things that are being mixed together. Section 2 of the corporate resolution refers to check signing authority, and you can specify a different check signing authority for different accounts. And we had agreed previously that what we were talking about, not in Section 4 of the resolution, in Section 2, was that there was single signing authority for the people we named, but in the case of the one endowment account for amounts over $2,000, there would be dual signing. Okay? That's a separate matter from what's in Section 4. Section 4 generally tells the bank the following people have the right to represent the foundation in all matters and bind the foundation in all matters, which empowers the people named under the signing authority named for them to open accounts, close accounts, do whatever they want. So the language here, the clarification is, it's Section 4. It doesn't apply to an endowment account or not an endowment account. It's who can represent the foundation of the bank. The check signing authority in Section 2 is not addressed here, and what we said previously is we have single signing authority there with double signing for the endowment account only. And I believe it was my motion that we're considering, but that just goes to show how fallible memory is.
Okay, so with that clarification, I think there's more confusion.
The language is written
is
correct.
I understand. The language as written here
is correct.
It's correct, and mm-hmm. that's what we should be voting on. Call the question. The question has been called. Okay. The question is called. Any objection to closing debate on this item?
Say that again, sir.
Question is called. Any objection to closing debate on this topic?
I do have an objection.
Okay, then we take a vote here.
Point of order?
Go ahead.
We're at time. The vote has to be to extend time.
What? Any motion to extend time?
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Okay. Second.
Second. Any objection to raising 3 minutes?
Yes.
Extension.
Yes.
May I be recognized?
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Sorry. If somebody's before me, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I object to the extension of time.
No. But I call that out of order.
Time.
Go ahead.
The only thing that I think I need, in light of what appeared to me to be a misunderstanding or disagreement about the original provision that's to be amended, is the actual language of Section 4. Then I can understand how this change would affect it. Is that available?
Mary has it. It's in the envelope you have, Mary.
Okay. While she's looking it up, could I get my point of information that I need?
Just a second.
Okay, I'll wait. So
let me get this.
Actually, I can read it. I have it on email as well.
How shall I?
I can.
Let's see. Well, I want to find where in here it is. Section 4. Oh, Section 4. Well, Section 4, if I have the right Section 4, which is headed on a piece of paper headed the Bank of New York, Corporate Resolution Authorizing Banking Accounts, Loans, and Related Matters, and Section 4, that any, parenthesis, specifying number, and one is written in here, any one of the following, parenthesis, if officers designate that only unless only certain officers of the same rank may sign, in which case, insert name and title. If persons other than officers, insert names. And the name that's inserted is Lonnie Hicks, CFO.
Oh, and this is the part that matters.
Okay.
These people are empowered.
Okay, those people, so it would be Lonnie Hicks, the way this is written, be and hereby are authorized on behalf of the corporation, A, to represent, sign for, and bind the corporation in all respects, B, to authorize and respect the bank, request the bank to purchase, exchange, sell, receive, deliver, or otherwise deal in any manner with stocks, bonds, securities, foreign exchange, or other property for the account of the corporation in any form. C, to discount with the bank notes, drafts, and other instruments, whether or not negotiable. D, to guarantee the payment and performance of the obligation of others. E, to borrow money and to obtain credit or other accommodations or services from the bank on any terms. F, to pledge, entrust, mortgage, grant a security interest, or otherwise create any lien upon any property in connection with any loan, credit, accommodation, or service from the bank. G, to establish and maintain with the bank one or more custody or clearance accounts. H, to enter into any agreement relating to any general or specific transaction with or service of the bank. And in connection with any of the foregoing, in the name of and on behalf of the corporation, to accept, receive, withdraw, or waive notices, damages, protests, vouchers, papers, or property, and to make, execute, and deliver such notes, obligations, guarantees, instruments, assignments, receipts, waivers, acquittances, indemnities, or other agreements pertaining thereto, as the officers or persons acting pursuant to this authorization may, at their discretion, deem advisable. That's Section 4.
Thank you very much. And even though it's a very, very clear explanation,
I think most,
in my opinion, most of the board members, they have not had the benefit of seeing these motions ahead of time. And even the committee members among themselves have not a consensus on the subject matter. I think that I would recommend to move it over back to the Finance Committee, and they can develop a common language, whatever, and resolve this conflict, and then bring it back next time.
I have a point of order.
Sure.
This motion was considered, discussed at the PNB meeting. It was submitted prior to that time to the PNB by the Finance Committee.
That's not a point of order.
It is a point of order. It concerns the motion. I am clarifying.
Point of order is, I'm ruling that this be sent back to the Finance Committee.
I'm clarifying the point that you
wrong.
Made.
Point of order.
This motion has been considered and passed and was sent to the PNB and was discussed in the PNB. This is not the first time. This has been discussed. It was all submitted.
Thanks.
Point of order.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Two points of order. First of all, this motion was not what was sent to the PNB and considered. The PNB took a vote on another motion that granted a term of that authorization to February 1st to allow us to consider this in the Finance Committee and bring it at this meeting. This has not been submitted to the PNB before. Secondly, I appeal the ruling of the chair, as I don't believe the chair has the parliamentary authority to rule the return of the item to committee.
Could you point that out, where the authority by which the chair cannot refer it back to the committee?
You just called for a vote on the
motion is the PNC.
The motion that was made on the floor was to approve these three.
I can ask for a clarification of the point of order. The clarification is that the chair can rule that the item is not properly before us if it's not properly before us, but the chair cannot unilaterally decide on referral of an item back to committee, even if it's advisable, without the consent of the body.
Then that determines that point will have to determine the body itself. If the body thinks
you can rule
if
on
the
whether
body,
I'm right
I can
or wrong.
Rule on it, whether you're right or wrong, mm-hmm. and then the body decides.
Yes.
And the body can overrule the chair.
Or
the if the body thinks yes. that the item is
yes,
clear and my ruling is out of order, then they can decide that.
What's your ruling on my point of order?
Point of information. If we vote to refer this, wouldn't we have to also extend that February 1st
yes.
date?
Yes.
Okay.
What's your ruling on my point of
my
order?
My ruling is that the point of order that you stated.
Oh, but wouldn't that have to be an appeal?
It's not in order. And my ruling is that we refer this item back to the committee and the parties involved come to a common language and understanding of it and bring it back to the PNB at the next meeting.
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Okay.
Selecting one of the three items that's before this body?
There's no
the one that's in conflict. The one that's in conflict. Whichever item is in conflict.
I've appealed the ruling of the chair.
The item in conflict.
That's what I have.
Chair is selecting motion three.
Motion three. That's in conflict, right?
Yes.
That's with the two different understandings of it.
Point of information. May I ask the person who had a disagreement, do you disagree with the language of the motion?
The language of the motion before us is absolutely accurate. What is not accurate is that the motion had been previously submitted to the board or considered in public session. That motion was a different motion that called for a specific term and different terms of approval.
The motion that was presented, this is a change to that motion to
correct.
Clarify,
that is
to correct the motion.
So that's why we brought
the points needed to change to the motion that has been
approved and considered by
the board.
So we have to move the agenda.
Okay, so
there's an appeal.
Mr. Chair.
There's an appeal. Does it have to be seconded?
I seconded it.
Okay, so we have to vote on the appeal. No.
If you look at chair's ruling.
Okay. My ruling is still out there.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
No.
David has passed.
Okay, then we vote on that.
Yeah.
So there's a vote on it. I don't have anything
Chair,
to say.
A point of information, please.
Stand up.
I can make it real brief.
My understanding is that there is a time urgency to doing this, and I would like anyone who knows whether that's true to let me know. What are the consequences of postponing it? Okay. I understood that we needed to really deal with this, that it's overdue. Am I correct
point
or not?
Point of order.
Lonnie?
Point of order.
Just a second here. Go ahead, Lonnie. Hold it. Go ahead, Lonnie. Can you explain here a little bit?
What's
urgency here?
Yeah, the donor in question has had this particular motion on the board's table for 8 months. And what he wants to do is to be able to have this motion so that he can take advantage of certain tax advantages at that point in December 31st. And we dealt with it on December 28th. So mm-hmm. at least we have it on record that we did take up the matter. So this is a continuation of that December 28th motion, which we extended to February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding, David, keep shaking your head, but that's how I understand that where things are. So we are carrying forward, and therefore if he can take advantage of that December 28th date and get his tax advantage before the December 31st date. Now, I'm told by the treasurer, by email, that he's wanting to deposit a second $20,000. And he just wants to be sure, you know, that we move forward on this one. So
he can't. I mean, he can.
Point
he,
of order.
The bank cannot accept the $20,000 gift to WBI without this resolution.
Point
but
of
is there,
order.
Can he hold it Well, can you go without it? I understand.
Mr. Chair, a point of order has been requested.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm still asking a bunch of us to vote. I don't know what you're talking about.
And the ruling of the chair has to be voted on, and the point of information is not germane until after we vote on whether the chair is sustained or not.
Okay.
Nor is the further debate.
Well, the chair...
So let's rule. Let's go ahead and rule on it. My ruling was to refer this item back to the Finance Committee to take a look at it, come with a common language and of the resolutions and resolve them, and then bring it back to the board and send, in addition, all information relevant to this item to every board member so they have a good understanding of it, what's going on. That is my ruling.
Okay, and then...
Okay, now let's go
call the question.
Okay, call the question.
Call the question. Okay.
Any... debate to...
No.
Okay, listen.
No.
All those who want to uphold the ruling of the chair.
What?
That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. The people yes, to uphold the ruling of the chair.
To refer? I know. You can hold your adrenaline.
Please restate the question.
Okay. The question is, it's whether you uphold the ruling of the chair. The ruling of the chair was to refer the item back to the Finance Committee to come back with this resolution of this item at the next PNB meeting.
It's inappropriate to get
okay,
the
so that's the ruling of the chair. So all those who are in favor of upholding the chair in that ruling, and that's the vote we're going to take.
Okay.
All right. So all those in favor of upholding the ruling of the chair.
Upholding.
Okay. All those against.
I count two. Okay. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. No.
Okay. So the chair is overruled, and then we move on to the open up the...
We're at time.
So unless somebody...
Call the question.
We're going to vote. We can vote.
We don't need to call the question.
There's a motion on the floor to approve these three items.
All right. Right. All those in favor of approving these three items?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
All those again.
And zero no's. Okay, 20 yes and zero no's to approve.
one more. This is just, I'm just taking one second here to ask and request that the committees, when they have motions, please do send them ahead of time to every board member so that they will have some understanding and so they will know what they're voting on. So they don't be caught here in some important matter to which they are voting and they don't know what they're voting at.
Exactly.
And we'll appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And in that spirit, I have transcribed the political statement motions. Margaret has two of them that she circulated. Wendy has one. And I need to go and print out Mr. Ruffin's two motions as well. So I'll be. Please take a look at those when you can. Hold on a sec, Rob. When we're boring you to tears, look at those motions and see if the content is acceptable to you. Okay? Yes, Rob.
I provided the secretary yesterday with a motion in writing about airing the meetings, providing for Q&A.
That'll be in new business.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
Fine.
We're now dealing with the bylaws amendment. What is it? They're all whereas motions. Okay, sorry, we're not going to talk about that right now. That's a motion. Now, we're at the bylaws amendment. And this bylaws amendment has gone through the process required in the bylaws for the PMB to approve it. My understanding is that at the LSBs, where it has been approved, it has not been approved. The language of the bylaws calls for the LSBs to vote on it within the same calendar month, which would require that any LSBs that had not voted on it do it by the 31st. But we have to vote on it because we've been announcing it, and we are required to vote on it. Will one of the six directors who brought forward the motion please read the motion? The bylaws amendment on the number of meetings per year.
Who was on it?
We've got the report.
Hold on, I'll get it. Okay, I'm going to ask the consent of the body to move this item to the end of action items and ask the directors who did that to get the language of the motion, and we'll move to the next item if there's no objection to that. There's no objection. Okay, the next item is the question of the negotiation of the Democracy Now! Contract. Is there a motion? Bob?
Resolved that the PNB direct the coordinating committee to report...
Excuse me, I can't hear you.
Resolved that the PNB direct the coordinating committee to report back to the PNB at the March meeting with a recommendation for a task force to negotiate with Democracy Now! Incorporated on a new contract with Pacifica.
Is there a second to the motion?
I second.
It's open for debate. Do you want to motivate it?
Yeah.
And then we'll go to debate?
Pacifica concluded a contract with Democracy Now! Incorporated in 2002. It was a five-year contract. I believe it expires September 30th of this year. It provides for Pacifica to pay an annual fee. I think it's in the range, someone can correct me, of $500,000 a year in return for preparing and broadcasting the show. And also, I'm not going to get into all the provisions, but it does require them to fundraise for Pacifica and various other things. That's coming up. We need to discuss in what form we want to renew it. They've indicated that they are totally in support of renewing it, but we need to look at the provisions and see if any of them need to be changed. So I don't think we should spend, we should wait too long since September 30th is coming fairly soon, but I do think the board should have a presence in the negotiation process, just as we did with the negotiation with Free Speech Radio News. So we don't have time today to get into all the questions of the composition of such a task force. So I think the coordinating committee should look at that carefully and come back to us in March with the recommendation.
Could we hear from the executive director on this, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and I just wanted, again, for those who weren't around at the time when this is negotiated the first time, negotiated in very good faith, and this is no commentary on the contract at all, but there was a great deal of fallout because there had not been sufficient examination of the terms and so forth, including by one of our attorneys who had some subsequent questions to it, etc. And so to avoid all of that kind of and by the way, a lot of the speculation and fallout, some of it, I mean, was not accurate. So to avoid all of that, let's be as transparent as possible and go through some kind of a process. I don't see any impediment to moving forward on the contract because of that.
Just before we continue in debate, the directors don't have to worry. It's posted on the Pacifica website. I have it, so no one need look for it. There was a request for the ED's comment, and then I'll go to Ambrose.
Yeah. No, I have no objection in principle to that. That seems like a sound idea. You know, obviously, my feeling is I think we obviously want to renew this contract. You know, as long as, you know, whatever process we put in place and committee and negotiating team we put in place, which would also include certain members of the staff, probably Lonnie, myself, and one or two other people. I don't see a problem, and it worked pretty well in relationship to the FSRN contract. So as long as we do it in a timely manner, fine with me.
Ambrose?
Bob, is there any problem with providing every member of this board a copy of that contract that exists now?
The existing contract?
Yes.
I think we have it in digital form. I'm pretty sure we do.
It was posted somewhere.
I have a copy of it. I don't know that I have it in digital form at this moment, but we can certainly, if we don't find it, we can certainly generate it.
I don't have to formally make a motion that you do.
No. Well, I mean, do you want the whole board to get it now, or do you want to wait until the negotiating committee is formed?
No, they ought to get it now. So that
you want
to know what's in that contract.
Distributed to everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And that is confidential material, everyone.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No, the contract is available.
Contract.
I'll email the board. I will email the board the address on the web where it is. One of the many addresses where it's posted.
Oh, is it posted there?
Yeah, no, it's all over the
first.
LeBarn.
Just quickly, but also the motion. I mean, I don't have a copy of it. I don't see a copy of it. But do you have in there what the timeline is? So not only the contract, but the timeline that we're looking at in terms of what has to be done so we can arrive at that September 30th date? Is that what you said it was? It just if we can have a copy of that so we can see it.
Well, I mean, just as a guideline based on FSRN, you know, we were a little late in forming our negotiating committee, so the sooner the better. We had to have a series of probably 4 or 5 meetings, which were sometimes difficult to schedule, but it was about once a month that we were able to do it, and sometimes more. And there was a little rushing at the end, but you know, I think if you leave yourself enough time, you leave yourself 4 months or 5 months, you can get this done.
Any further debate? Lonnie and then Bob.
I do have a PDF version of the Democracy Now! Contract. I can check it out.
Thank you. Bob.
Perhaps in light of what Greg just said, could I change the date, the report back to the February teleconference so that we get a head start rather than...
The sooner the
March.
Better.
Yeah.
Okay. And add your proposed timeline. So that we'll...
Well, I'm not proposing a timeline other than that the coordinating committee should report back with a proposal which could include a timeline at our February teleconference.
Okay, that's what I'm asking for.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I'll add the language. All right, let me do it again. Resolve that the PNB direct the coordinating committee to report back to the PNB at the February teleconference with a recommendation for a task force and a timeline to negotiate with Democracy Now! Inc. on a new contract with Pacifica.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? The motion being amended with that language? Okay. Does the secretary have the text? Or you have it written down?
Yeah, I got it.
Is there any further debate? All those in is there any objection to adopting the motion as amended?
No.
Seeing none, that's adopted. Okay. Now we're back on the bylaws amendment. The bylaws amendment reads as follows. Article, the full text of this bylaws amendment follows. Article 6, Section 1. The annual meeting of the Board of Directors shall take place in late January each year or at such other time and place as agreed to by a majority vote of the Board of Directors. The Board shall also meet in person no less than 2 other times each year. In-person board meetings shall alternate among the 5 Foundation radio station signal areas, ensuring that each signal area has the opportunity to host at least once each 24 months, and no station hosts more than once in any 12-month period unless all other stations have also hosted in the same period. That's the bylaws amendment that is before us. We have had it before us a long time. Is there any desire for debate prior to our vote?
Just point of information, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Have the all the 5 LSPs voted on it, and what has been the result of it?
I'd like to ask a member from each LSP to report on whether their LSP has voted or not. Ambrose, has PFW?
Yes.
And the
no.
You voted it down. Lydia Brazan?
No.
We have not voted?
I don't think so.
We did not vote. Mary Berg.
KPFA voted, and they voted it down with a large majority.
Barb Letter.
WBAI has not voted on it. No.
And Mike Woodson.
I don't think so.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Wait.
A clean sweep. So what we have heard is that those LSBs that have voted on it voted it down, and the others have not.
Right.
Is there any desire to take a vote on this at this time?
Yes. Lydia? Well, I think we should take a vote. We should get a sense and at least have an argument. We might want to consider it next year. But the point is that when this board has wanted to move on an amendment, they extend, as you have personally, a resolution to make the vote by the LSVs within the next 30-day period after the PNB votes. So if we would have that sentiment, I don't think we do, but I think it would be a good idea to just get a sense of the board and hear just two like we do with procedural on it, and I would like to motivate.
Okay, let me just clarify what you said. Roberts provides that when there are items in the bylaws that are in the form of a rule of order, i.e. that describes the manner in which the body itself conducts business, that a two-thirds majority can adopt a special rule of order that supersedes that, and mm-hmm. that's what Lydia is referring to.
Okay.
And so what we did in the past on one occasion was moved an interpretation that allowed it to be within 30 days, to the great objection of many people who feel that that use to deal with the amendment of bylaws was a violation of the spirit of the protections built into those provisions. Okay, so I'll say that. But follow me. This item's still open for debate. So if you want to motivate your position,
yeah, I just wanted to say that I and other people can speak to what their thinking was on it at the time, and now that may not be as pressing now. At the time that we scheduled in the bylaws a March meeting, it was when the flaw was still in there, or the thinking was still in there, that the affiliate directors had to be seated at that March meeting. So therefore, it allowed for a very short period of time between the end of January meeting and the mid-March meeting, which is the same situation we find ourselves in right now, unless, again, we develop a special rule of order to supersede the bylaws that require the very specific language in the bylaws, which I think ultimately we have to amend. But anyway, so my interest in this is beyond the fact that we would save some money by one meeting, is the fact that there was so little time in between to do the real work to make the March meeting worth coming to and really moving forward. Not enough time to work on your LSBs, etc. And as I said, we are considering an alternative to that, but I still think it would be a good idea.
Rip.
What I would remind the directors is that when the change was approved for the seating of the affiliates, the rest of the language that is in the bylaws mm-hmm. was postponed mm-hmm. at that time because, you know, of the fact that on telephone meetings they go till midnight and 1 o'clock for East mm-hmm. Coasters, and because of the time strain, we actually postponed all deliberation of how we were going to deal with the language in the bylaws that comes along with the seating of the affiliates at this early time. Well, now we have to deal with that. As you know, the time has come now where we have to deal with the language in the bylaws. So I agree with Lydia that there is some bylaw language change. However, I speak against canceling an in-person meeting. We now have, if we change this thing about affiliate seating, flexibility, could have a meeting in mid-April, push the summer meeting. And if we go to New York, I would suggest, and this has been discussed in the halls, that we don't need to meet in Manhattan. As long as we're on a path line that every member can attend our meeting, we don't need to be in Manhattan. Please think about that.
I want to agree with what Rip just said and explain why I oppose this bylaws amendment. The main rationale, and perhaps someone from the Finance Committee should address it, just so especially the new members are clear on the main motivation, was not what Lydia said originally, but it was to save money. That these meetings cost perhaps $50,000 per less or more, depending on what city. Obviously, New York is the most expensive city to meet in the middle of. And I understand and respect that we all know we have a serious budget crunch. However, I think it goes really contrary to the entire spirit of these bylaws adopted in the wake of the victory of the take-back movement, which was for more transparency and more grassroots participation in governance. And when you reduce the number of in-person meetings from 4 to 3 a year, you're making what's already at times a difficult process for the listeners and the staff to have genuine input and interaction mm-hmm. into the decisions we make. And the interaction is perhaps more, in some ways, more important than the formal role of standing up at a mic for 2 minutes. I think it would move us in exactly the opposite direction, solely out of a financial need. I think the Finance Committee has pointed the way towards some other measures to save money. I, for one, would recommend that every LSB look at colleges in their area and other nonprofit institutions that have dorm-type space and alternatives to expensive hotels. I know it's not always available, but the point is there are other ways to save money, but we shouldn't sacrifice participation of our strongest supporters in meetings. So I think we should
vote this down. And we have 100 people at that meeting.
Mary and then LeVar.
Yes, in addition to the things that have been already said, with which I wholeheartedly concur, I think we actually do violation to our fiduciary responsibilities. We are here as a board to govern and to mandate policy for five very different stations in five very different geographical regions. And on the phone, we never learn anything about those regions. That, to me, is a very serious thing. Additionally, it's penny wise and pound foolish. We think we're saving some money. But on the other hand, those phone conferences take longer and are more frequent. They are inherently unfair, and there's no way to remedy this because we have a three-hour time difference. So if you start them late enough for any West Coast people to be on, they're so late that the East Coast people are gone. By the time, and it takes so long because the technology being as lame as it is, you can hardly hear half the time. Two different times we spent an hour and a half even trying to get a connection that we could hear, that we could understand, that was intelligible. And this is very tiring and exhausting to people. And then by the time we make the decision, we have maybe seven people left on a call or eight or whatever. So I'm also in the I didn't get it done for this meeting, but I'm going to draft a proposal whereby we enlist the aid of these people in the signal areas who are very familiar with their area. We can save money, and it will set forth parameters of what it should cost, and I think that we can save much more money that way than having more and more telephone meetings.
Pavan.
I'll try to be brief. I think that the reason why this was brought up, there are a number of reasons. It's not only in terms of the cost, say $50,000 cost for a P&D meeting in New York, but also it's a matter of productivity of the national staff and the local staff, that what happens is that the staff is going into a position where you're planning, your work is based on planning for the next P&D meeting. So that was part of it. The other part of bringing this up is that there were another bylaws amendment that was proposed. So I think the Finance Committee basically said if there are going to be bylaws amendments, it has to be something that's going to save the foundation money, not cause increase in money. And that basically I think a lot of people who are not supporting this, including myself at this point, is that these bylaws amendments should be part of a whole bylaws amendment, like a year-long process in terms of getting together a committee to go to a bylaws convention to do a change in all the bylaws, not piecemeal, not one at a time, because this is also not productive. And I've heard on KPFA for the last 20 months that there's this bylaws amendment brought to you by the Finance Committee.
Three times a day.
Exactly. And, you know, we need to look at that. We need to stop it. And I think that, and our KPFA did not support it, and I think basically, again, we need to look at forming a bylaws convention committee to start working on that so we can get a bylaws convention within the next 2 to 3 years, and that's how we handle these issues of bylaws versus piecemeal, and that, again, we do need to have the face-to-face meetings, but we do, as we have asked for, to cut the cost of these meetings also. Thank you.
And just to clarify, our governance committee is a standing committee defined in the bylaws as being responsible for bylaws revision. So a subcommittee of that group would do what LaVarn is asking. Lonnie.
Well, when we were doing the budget for this year, what was clear was we were short $100,000. And in looking around for ways to recoup some of those funds, I did suggest to the Finance Committee we look at saving money by having three meetings rather than four. And the effect was it was to have more time between the January meeting and the June meeting. So it wasn't eliminating a meeting. It was postponing a meeting for this particular year in order to make ends meet in the budget. See, it caused some considerable concern. I do want to point out, however, that this is not an issue that's going to go away. Every year, the governance costs are going up. $500,000 this year. It's not going to go away. We'll be faced with the same, you know, expenses go up, the hotel rates go up every year. I do heartily endorse that each listening area, which knows the cheapest way to go, take responsibility, and that may be a motion this board may want to consider, to assume a budget for the meetings in their particular areas and work with that budget so we have a known cost. Otherwise, assuming responsibility from Berkeley for setting up food, transportation, hotel in a city that many of us may or may not know very well, it's very difficult to do. So I guess my recommendation, strong recommendation, is that each listening area assume responsibility for planning the meetings against the known budget and stick to your budget. That way we can at least, you know, control costs in some sort of way.
Okay, I believe, Ambrose, and then we're at time.
I was going to move the agenda.
Then we're at time. So we're going to call for a vote, and I believe, does this require a roll call vote?
No.
Okay. All those in favor of adopting the proposed bylaws amendment, please raise your hand.
The three.
For adopting the amendment. Adopting the proposed bylaws amendment.
It's going to be worse.
Okay. All right.
I'll go.
Do I see? There's three. Wait a minute. I can't tell whose hand is up here.
Lori?
One, two, three. There are three in favor. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right.
All those opposed?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, no.
Including you, Mayor?
It failed. So it
Mr. Chairman?
Fails?
Well.
Yes.
I know that I'm just taking an opportunity at this moment. I would like the CFO, if he could, to send to the board the accounting that demonstrates a $500,000 expense for the meetings in this year.
You can make that we can make that request to the finance committee.
It's on the list.
That's on the list.
It's
on the list.
It's on the list.
Okay.
Okay.
The next thing is
okay, thank you very much.
The next thing deals with how we are going to establish a board calendar and also the first on this issue of the bylaws amendment in the meeting, I would like to yield the chair because I would like to make a special rule of order regarding our next in-person meeting. I would like to move that the PMB adopt a special rule of order that the second in-person meeting of the PMB be held in April or March, March or April, rather than March of each year, and that the third in-person meeting of the PMB be held in either June or July, rather than restricting the date to June.
I second.
And the rationale for this is we can modify, again, this has to do with the rule of order, how we conduct our business. We did it before we moved to October when we had a hurricane here in Houston. If we do not adopt this, the bylaws would require us to hold another meeting at the most within 8 weeks of today. Doing this allows us to plan the next meeting in late April in D.C. if we so choose, and the following meeting in early to mid-July, which is better spacing. We have to have one, which we always have at the end of September. So that gives you a more even time between meetings, and that is my reason for moving this.
Second.
No, I already did.
The third one.
Hang on.
We have a September meeting that's
Okay.
So could you read the
I'll read it again. Yeah. That the PNB adopt a special rule of order that the second in-person meeting of the PNB each year. Be held in either March or April, rather than restricting the date to March of each year, and that the third in-person meeting of the PNB be held in either June or July, rather than restricting the date to June.
Okay. So that's the motion. Any second?
I second. Yes.
Oh. Go ahead, Chairman.
I have a friendly amendment. I hope it's friendly. To add that not to conflict with any fundraising going on at any of the stations.
No.
Okay.
That's the purpose of the calendar, is to coordinate all of that.
Any
and
second
that's
to that?
A separate discussion.
And Lydia?
That, a good idea.
Any second to that motion?
I'll second it.
You second it. Okay. So the amendment has been seconded. So any discussion on this? Okay, let's we'll just take two pro, two con to the amendment. Okay. Pro, Dave?
Lydia? Lydia's reading
okay,
my
Lydia,
mind
go
at
ahead.
The moment anyway.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead,
so,
Lydia.
As we were going to take up in the next item, was that I'm going to be circulating the calendar with the dates that we agree on today, these provisions, getting people's input, which will include the fund drives for all of the stations, so we factor in all of the things that are going to affect our calendar in choosing the upcoming meetings, rather than just the fund drives or just this or just that. And as a full board, we can do that by email and vote on it at our next meeting.
So let me see for clarification. Chandra's concern will be taken care of when you set the meetings.
Yes. That's and what, I think that this is a very separate issue. This is a special order regarding the bylaws very specifically, which is separate from all other considerations having to do with our scheduling.
All right, no, we're just talking about the amendment. Okay, go ahead, Chandra.
Okay, this is in favor.
Sure, sure.
All right. The reason why I wanted the language included here is because this is not always going to be the sitting PNB, and we don't know what the next PNB will do or what will happen at the next at the stations in the future. So this is to ensure that we don't have that conflict in the future, which we seem to have at many PNB meetings, where the GMs and the PDs can't be here and other people are too busy because they're all in fund drive mode. And this is to ensure in perpetuity that it doesn't occur that there's a conflict in the future, not just for our calendar, but for all time.
Good. Against. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we can't, the scheduling of fund drives and fundraising activities is a dynamic thing. If I were opposed to the holding of a meeting, I could schedule a fund drive. If we adopted that, and then the board couldn't hold the meeting. I mean, we're going to use common sense and organize our meetings at the time that's most appropriate for the activities of the foundation. Mm-hmm. And if we're trying to defend against a future insane board, you know, they will resent us for it.
Another pro-amendment. Go ahead.
I am speaking against the amendment for the reason that...
Pro.
It has to be pro?
No, pro. It has to be pro. He was against the amendment.
I'm speaking
again. Call the question.
Oh, call. Question has been called. Any objections to ending debate? Okay. So let's vote on the amendment. The amendment is that... go ahead, read it, Chandra. Your amendment. Say it again.
The amendment is that not to conflict with fund drives at any of the five stations. Okay. Five Pacifica stations.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment?
One, two. I count two.
All those against.
All those opposed? One, two, three, four. Are your hands up for it? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. No.
Thank you. The amendment fails. Let's go to the main motion. Dave, could you read that again here?
Yeah, and I've emailed it to the full board and to our secretary. And it reads that the PNB adopt a special rule of order that the second in-person meeting of the PNB each year be held in either March or April rather than restricting the date to March of each year, and that the third in-person meeting of the PNB be held in either June or July rather than restricting the date to June.
Okay, so that's the motion. All those in favor?
One, two, three, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, yes.
16, yes. All those opposed?
Huh? Anyone opposed?
No opposition. No. Motion passes.
Okay, so the next item is the scheduling of our next teleconference and our next in-person meeting, and the reason for doing both is that we need to schedule our teleconference, obviously, now to do the stuff that we've put for that teleconference, and we need to. The next meeting will be hosted in Washington D.C. if I'm not mistaken. It's the WPFW signal area, and they need to be given notice as soon as possible so they can make arrangements. Bob,
I have a motion about the teleconference.
Go ahead.
I move that the PNB chair be empowered to set a date and time for the February teleconference after consultation with the board.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Any debate?
I don't understand.
Very quick.
Margaret?
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain.
Okay, Bob will explain and then Margaret.
We've done this a couple times before. In the interest of time, because we're really behind in this agenda today, rather than spend a long time with meshing our calendars all of that the chair will poll us by email over the next few days and, you know, call people if need be to follow up
that's what
and come
saying.
Up with a date. And whatever date he chooses, realizing that he'll be fair, that we'll go with.
Oh, after polling the board.
Yes, after polling the
board. Email.
Okay, hold them into a false sense of security. Now that trap closes. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yeah, appreciating all that has been said, but would really like to make a special appeal that it not be scheduled during our fund drive, the KPFK fund drive, because we'll be dead. I, for one, will be. So just as we do that for our in-person meetings, could we have some consideration?
But all the drives are in February.
Okay, we managed to get ourselves back to schedule a little. I would like the whole board to spend the next 5 minutes saying om while I print out the political resolution.
Wait, aren't we supposed to vote on the next meeting? In-person
the in-person meeting. You're right. Laverne.
I would just ask again that the meetings not be scheduled for Friday evenings. Some of us who are single or married have a life, and we have to get out on Friday night.
Thank you.
I would ask that we not have P&B meetings on Friday night.
Okay, and given the given the motion, we'll have this discussion on email. Your point of order?
No, that's the problem, but I just
want to
amend my
motion.
We
already voted.
No, we didn't vote.
We adopted it without objection.
No, we didn't.
No, we did not.
I did. Maybe you did.
No, the rest of us didn't.
All right. Is there any objection to reopening that question to entertain letters amendment to the motion that I thought we just adopted?
I object. We did just adopt it.
We adopted it.
Okay, we're still on the business item. We are still on the business item of meetings, so any other additional motion would be in order. But I'm going to recognize Lydia first, then we'll come back to you, Bob.
Oh, well, now I'm confused. But, I mean, I think, no, we haven't adopted that. We just want to be specific that you're going to set the date. Is there anything, no objection to that,
I
right?
asked that already.
That passed?
Yeah.
So that passed?
Yeah. Unless okay. I
have and everything else
break.
That people keep raising, I just want to stress again, they're going to get an email from me to chime in on the calendar, but also Michael, in terms of our next in-person meeting, I know Michael had a specific request regarding which week of the month to have it. Michael.
Yeah, I'd like to have it on the 2nd or the 4th. That's
people, we can do this over email.
I thought the in-person meeting you said had to be done today.
This
is the in-person meeting. Michael is requesting that the in-person meetings be... Michael, not be the 1st or the 4th?
It should be the 2nd and the 4th are the best of any month.
Okay. What we're looking for is a motion for when we will hold the meeting in person.
I move that we...
And we've just done it so that we can do it in mid-April if we'd like.
Right. And I'm considering that and me. I've proposed that we have the meeting March 31st, April 1st, April 2nd. The next weekend is Easter.
We're just concluding the fundraiser.
There's a motion that it be March 31st.
Yeah,
is there
right.
a second?
That's what I want.
Seeing no second, it fails for lack of second. Rip.
I move that we meet the weekend of April 13, 14, and 15.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Tax time.
Okay.
Tax time.
Is there any... Folks, let's keep order because we're all kind of frazzled right now. We got to put out more energy than usual not to go crazy. Please, if everyone could maintain order. There's a motion to hold the meeting the 13th, 14th, and 15th of April. It's on the floor and open for debate. Laverne.
That is... the time for taxes. Some of us have to get taxes done at that time.
It would be single.
Would you?
Well, that's the only way.
Okay, would you like to propose an alternative?
Come on. Well, I think that the fourth weekend of whatever.
April.
Yeah.
You guys.
Okay, I would like to propose that we table this item and take a 5-minute break so people can stretch, because I'm feeling like we're a little rattled, and people could caucus if it matters to them and come up with a date, okay? So 5 minutes, please be back in your chair.
We really got to push the idea of the
DM asked.
When the sun comes up in the morning and you hear the dancing boys, mother, leave your pots and pans, and sister, leave your toys. If you have to break a camel's back or pull the crowds apart, you'll find a way to get there when that old time music starts just down the stream. There's a rattling sound, there's a country band playing hand-me-downs, and it's a jamboree. It was in my father's day, they knew a rolling air. The Albion boys will show you how they sang it everywhere. If you come along with us, you're numbered as a friend, and the faded flower of England will rise and bloom again just down the stream. There's a rattling sound, there's a country band playing hand-me-downs, and it's a jamboree. The dancers standing three and three are a most illustrious sight. Somebody saw a better one, then you surely know he lied. Hear the bells are ringing when the singer calls him on. I can dance away the night and day and never step it wrong. Just down the street, there's a rattling sound, there's a country band playing hand-me-down, it's a jamboree. hang them high. They'll rot away with all their lies. Bad news is all the wind can carry.
Poor girls here in hell, and I never will sneak to the news of the world. Oh, kind Mrs. Rita, sincere Mrs. Rita, a friend to a stranger, a ma to a girl. With the chalking and stitching and cutting and such, we are no what to yearn, and it isn't too much. Enough to keep half a step higher than trash. Oh, kind Mrs. Rita, sincere Mrs. Rita, so loose with the purse string, so free with the cash. Some guardian angel take pity and sweep me away. Seems I work every hour God sends in a day, to line the pockets of a Rita O'Connor, to line the pockets of a Rita O'Connor. You can't call it stealing nor helping yourself if the odd pair of nylons should fall off the shelf and fall into somebody's handbag, let's say. Oh, kind Mrs. Rita, sincere Mrs. Rita, it sort of makes up for the pitiful pain. Mrs. Rita, sincere Mrs. Rita, God keep and preserve you, we love you always.
If you have with me
the maple strings. You can't catch it in when the pendulum swings, and you need someone. All you're doing is fooling yourself if you think you can buy love right off the shelf. Love around your arm is more than wealth when you need someone. Lucky in life, unlucky in love. Tell you heaven's above. Silver and gold is never enough when you need someone. You might see a young man walking down the street, string on his pants and cones on his feet. Nothing in his pocket, but he knows he's sweet when he needs someone. Well, don't think love is nothing but a hobby. Don't spend your whole life standing in the lobby. What you gonna do when you got nobody and you need someone? Lucky in life, unlucky in love. That's what they tell you, heaven's above.
It's 2:20.
Okay. Okay, we call, actually, do we need to call the roll again after a break? No, we don't. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, we have quorum. Okay, is there a motion on the date of the PNB meeting in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, April 13, 14, and 15.
Can you speak up?
April 13th, 14th, and 15th, and it was proposed by Rip Robbins.
Okay, there were other members who were going to propose an alternative date. Is there a substitute motion?
I've got one.
Go ahead, Wendy.
27th, 28th, and 29th of April.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's open for debate.
Mm-hmm.
Rip?
I would like to speak to the earlier week, because the more we push it through April, then the closer it gets to the next one, and then the next one, and so forth, and we really don't have much of a window here.
Okay. Chandra.
Pro. I would like it that weekend. That's actually a three-month spread, and if we can spread out our meetings every 3 months, that'll be perfect.
May we move to a vote? All those in favor of substituting the... What's the date?
Wait, no, they're talking about the 13th, 14th.
I know.
Oh, okay, 27th, 28th, 29th.
All those in favor of substituting 27th, 28th, and 29th for the original motion of the 13th, please raise your hand.
We can vote for both.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Meeting at the end of April.
This is to substitute.
6. I count 6.
All those opposed?
More than 6. That's too late. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Okay, the motion fails. Now the motion to the 13th. Yes.
I will make a motion for the 20th, 21st, 22nd.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'm at that.
What was the motion?
Well, we were actually about to vote, but I'll allow it reopened. The substitute to substitute the last weekend in April just failed. There is a motion now for the... Is that the third?
What's the third date?
13th, 14th, 15th.
No.
It would be the 13th. I mean, I'm sorry. It would be the 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Okay. Hello. I misspoke. It was the final weekend, which I believe is the fifth week, given the dates in April.
Okay.
Now she's proposing the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to that substitute amendment?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
Don.
Well, this affects probably one person in the room. The Latin American Solidarity Conference in Chicago, April 14, 15. And that will bring people...
That's a different weekend.
Point of order.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't have to raise a point of order. You're out of order. Please respect the right of the member to speak.
Well, yeah. That's why I am... Oh, I'm sorry. Did I confuse you?
Yeah.
I am supporting this motion because the other motion, the other proposal conflicts with the conference I have to attend. But that's just very personal, so that's it.
Rip?
Well, I just wanted to clarify whether Michael Woodson had also spoken that third weekend does not work for him.
He didn't say that. He said the other
order.
He said the second and fourth.
Second and fourth work.
We're better. But what about for the third?
That's okay.
It's okay. Okay. Great.
My understanding of the dates is that that actually is the fourth weekend. Lisa.
I just want to say I support the motion that Mary just made because I think that the 13th, 14th, and 15th, that weekend of April is, tax season time. And I'm sure this doesn't apply to anybody here because everybody does their taxes way in advance before I do. But even if you look at the staff and the audience, it's just, to me, not a very good time.
I'm going to provide some information to the body. Because of the way the holidays fall this year, your taxes are due on Tuesday, April 17th this year. So you is not due either on that Friday or that Monday. Yes, right.
Even though it's, I made the motion for, can I withdraw my motion?
Yes. Yes.
With the consent
and
of
here's
the body.
Why I am now speaking against my own motion because now I see that the NFCB conference is that weekend.
Which weekend?
The National Federation of Community Broadcasters is the 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Oh, good.
If it's I apologize for making that motion ahead of time.
It's
wasted
vote,
a lot
please?
Of time, and I apologize.
You want to speak?
Absolutely.
You need to speak. Okay. We are The motion to substitute April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. All those in favor of substituting, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and I don't know, and 16? 16, yes.
All those opposed?
1.
Okay. May we adopt the substituted motion without objection? Seeing no objection, our next meeting will be Washington, D.C., the 20th, the 21st, and 22nd of April. Okay, so the next thing is, hold on, I need to get back to this. Board calendar meeting schedule. Ah, yes. So we have now new business. Now, the motions I have for new business include the political motions, motions on political statements. I've been in discussion with Thomas Ruffin, and because of a transcription delay, and because he's not immediately time-sensitive, he's willing to delay the motion on the Black Liberation Army Black Panther Party. You have until our next teleconference. You should have all the other motions, the political statements that people wish to make in front of you in print. And those motions were Shrell's motion on journalists, the Prescott motion on Haiti, Byrd motion on the U.S. Senate resolution on Bush's decision, the Prescott motion on Lieutenant Aaron Watada, and the Ruffin motion on Troy Anthony Davis. So is there a motion to accept these as a group? And then what I'd like to do is propose that we consider this as a consent calendar, and if any of these motions appear problematic to the members, we can pull them off. If you have not had time to look at them, we could also move to table this and cover a couple of other key motions we need to make while you look at this. Yes, Margaret.
Yeah, I would like to say that the motion on Lieutenant Watada and the motion on Haiti are very time-sensitive because Lieutenant Watada's court-martial is February 5th. The International Day in Support of Haiti is February the 7th. So it would be good if the board could take some action on them today, and also to say that there is one sentence addition to the one on Haiti that's not included in what you have.
Before you do that, when I said table, I wasn't saying postpone to another meeting. I was saying not at this moment in the meeting. We'll deal with a couple of others. Randhawa's motion on confidentiality, and we have a motion about the job posting requirement for able-bodied people. And while we deal with those, people could examine these, and we take those up afterwards.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking. Would anybody like to make the motion to table?
Well, why can't we take them up now? Get them out of the way?
Some members have not read them yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Two of them were just passed out now because I had to go print them.
I see, okay.
Which is why we took the break. Is there a motion to table?
Another motion to table.
Until after?
Until we discuss the other two motions.
Okay. Motion to table is not debatable. Is there any objection to tabling? Seeing none, we'll proceed to the motion regarding able-bodied requirement. Who's bringing that?
I gave it to Sar.
You gave it to Sar?
But I think
I gave
Chandra.
One to you and one
Chandra,
to Sar.
Chandra, do you have it?
What? I was going to introduce this, but I think you wanted to actually handle the issue of the able-bodied issue.
None of us have your.
Can I address the body, please? Dan Siegel, before he left, gave me language. Dan Siegel, before he left, gave me language about job announcements, including ADA access issues. The reason why I do not want to introduce it today, and I discussed this with Dan, is that the specific specific job announcement that Scotty McClyman's was referring to yesterday was an announcement posted on the Pacifica website for a particular job that required a specialized skill at that would limit who would be eligible for that job. And I want to propose language that would be added to any Pacifica job announcement indicating when a specialized skill is required, and run that language by Dan and Yolanda Thomas before including it in the motion. So rather than having two motions, I would rather have one, if it's acceptable to everybody. And I can prepare that for the conference call meeting in February.
Good.
Okay. Is that okay?
Can we adopt by common consent the request that Chandra will draft a resolution dealing with the problems of able-bodied requirement specifications in job descriptions around Pacifica for consideration at our next meeting? There's no objection to that.
It's not a resolution. It would be proposed language.
Okay. We're going to agree by consent, and we understand what we mean. Okay. The next thing is a motion by Ron. You changed. You used to be Sarv. Well, I swear to God, I turned here and you were Sarv.
Yeah.
What have you done with Sarv?
I don't know.
David, wasting time. All right.
Well, let me everybody.
There should be no Martini.
We'll deal with that in a second. The next, Sarv, when he used to be here, had a motion on confidentiality. And if he was here, I would like to yield the chair then to Berg, because I would like to make a special rule of order on our next meeting in Houston.
All right. I would like to recognize Dave Adelson.
I'd like to propose a special rule of order that at the next PMB meeting held in the Houston Signal area, the PMB arrange for accommodation and meeting at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. That is welcomed by the Shrine. And if I get a second, I can motivate it. The motivation is they started to look into that accommodation for this meeting, and my understanding is it would have been considerably less expensive, but due to problems with the arrangements, it didn't happen. And so if we specify that now as a special rule of order, I talked to other members of the community, particularly Akua, who said they would welcome it. They have excellent facilities. And so this motion is saying if they would welcome it, that is where we will go next time, in line with what should be our practice of, where possible, A, saving money, and B, do so by working with groups in the community that are part of our constituency.
The chair would like to clarify. This is in Houston. We're talking about the next
next year or next time.
And it was seconded?
Yes. Second.
Oh, that's right. So you did. Okay. Well, shall we take, since it's a special group, we could have two in favor or two against. Does anyone want to? Evelyn?
I speak for it because, first of all, it's handicapped accessible. They spent an awful lot of money making it that way. It's also an incredible facility. And the bus stops right in front of the building, so it's accessible to the public. And there's free parking, a huge parking lot. So it's very amenable to what we're trying to do.
Is there anyone who wants to speak against it?
Well, I have a point of information before I could speak pro or con, and maybe some of the members from T could answer this question. I've heard that there's a substantial price to rent that facility of possibly $10,000.
What told you that?
It's just a rumor. That's why I'm asking for clarification. You don't believe that would be the case?
I'm a member of the Shrine of the Black Madonna.
Great. Okay, then. Thank you very much. That's all.
Rob, do you want to speak against it? Or?
No, I just wanted to add a historical footnote that actually this recaps a discussion that we had in, like, 2002.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we couldn't get it together to do it then. I welcome this motion.
All right. Is there anyone who wants to speak against this motion? Then may we adopt this as the next meeting place without objection next time we meet in Houston?
Dave made the motion.
Well, hearing no objection, the next Houston meeting will be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna.
If they will have us, is what
it's. If they welcome it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well she'll fix that. She's a member.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So
I yield the chair back to David Eagles.
The next item is the confidentiality motion by Randhawa, which should be in front of you.
Yes. I'm introducing this motion because we have lots of confidential kind of issues
that
come.
We cannot hear
Well, let's see. Oh, here we go.
That won't help you. It doesn't amplify anything.
Oh, that doesn't amplify anything. All right. We have a lot of issues regarding personnel issues and contractual issues and litigations and stuff like that on, and the LSB members and PNB members have to deal with them. And so I have talked, our executive director has recommended, and I have talked with our legal counsel, and I have come up with a standard sample confidentiality agreement that I left a copy for each of you on your desk. And so my motion is that PNB adopt the attached form to be used by PNB and LSB members as a standard confidentiality agreement form, and all members of these boards sign this agreement. So that's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Open for debate. Chandra?
Okay. I'd like to speak to some of the language that I think is too vague. In the first paragraph, I understand that as a member of blah, 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 personnel information and other confidential information. That phrase is too vague. We don't know what that covers. So I propose to strike that or to it has to be rewritten. Last paragraph, any person whose right to confidentiality is violated by my actions, that is definitely has to go. Because some people, for example, we've had situations at KPFA where there were general manager hires and candidates had publicly announced that they had submitted their names, and therefore they said, if you want to talk about the fact that I'm a candidate, it's fine. And people were, you know, criticized because they mentioned those people's names in public, whereas the candidate themselves had already declared themselves a candidate in public. So therefore, this would not apply in those situations. There has to be an exemption. And my last comment is that the California Corporate Code requires confidentiality, so therefore this whole thing is moot. We're all covered by the California Corporation Code, which requires all the PNB and LSBs to maintain confidentiality.
Before I recognize Rob, we're looking for the text, a stack of the motions from Ruffin on Troy Anthony Davis. Does anybody have one?
Yeah, I got
one.
Here's one.
I have one.
If we have the stack, please.
I don't have the stack.
Okay.
I'm happy to do this. I think that there are two problems we ought to be concerned with. Unless we get a position statement from the legal counsel to the local station boards, we're all going to have lots of people that say, you're trying to gag me, I'm not going to do this, and some of us are just very lucky that we've not been in situations in which someone has gone out and made the foundation liable for serious damages that we've had to pay. So one thing we have to do is we have to provide the local station boards with a statement that this is a concern, that it creates a liability. And the second thing is if people aren't going to follow this, there has to be a penalty. We had a situation on a board recently. I'm not going to go into detail with it, but confidentiality was breached that could have put us in line to have to pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars that we didn't have to pay out. And people do these things. There is absolutely no penalty for thumbing noses at these things, and I don't care whether it's people on the PNB or the LSB, there has to be a penalty for this stuff.
Oh, people want to talk about this more. Okay, LaVarne?
Just the point that Chandra had made in terms of California code. In addition, this a similar thing was introduced at our LSB. I'm not sure if this is the one. And what we said was that, first of all, I haven't seen this motion. I know it was going to be presented here at the PNB, so I didn't see it, SARF, so I'm not really ready to look at that at this time. So I would even, you know, refer to governance. But our position at the time is that a motion like this needs to come out of committee by the members of the board, the LSB, or the PNB. And to just put this on us at this point without having legal opinion, I think it's just not the thing to do at this time, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. I would like to refer to governance or wherever.
There's a motion to refer the item to the governance committee. Is that seconded?
Second.
This is a motion to refer. I'm going to take two pro and two con. Who's speaking opposed to the referral? Thomas.
I think LaVarne spoke quite competently on, first of all, the lack of notice on the particular issue. And we've had two very important discussions earlier where I think the lack of notice was troubling, and I think that we need to stop that here. Second point that's subordinate but very important substantively, and that is this proposed resolution seems to be redundant in that the actual penalties are already stated explicitly or implied in the bylaws. If we violate confidentiality, there are remedies. I don't know why we don't apply them. But I think in that vein, it ought to go to governance so that we can see if this is redundant or if this is a better statement of what ought to be an amendment to the bylaws.
Okay, I'll take that rather than as a con, as actually a pro for the motion to refer.
I was asking for Con,
don't worry about it.
I apologize.
I'm
opposing the motion to refer based on the fact that we have been advised by counsel. In my report, I actually discussed this about adopting a standard policy that was distributed to you. The original wording of this, which is the wording of the confidentiality policy that's in force for KPFA staff, very minor modifications by SAR since yesterday, was also provided with you in appendix, and our counsel, Dan Siegel, has advised that local boards should, would have to adopt the policy before it could force members to sign a confidentiality statement or sanction them, but he feels that because they tabled the issue, this is ultimately an issue of national policy. So he's actually recommended that we adopt, not necessarily this exact wording, but some sort of confidentiality policy. And he has seen, both this draft as well as the other example that I provided to you, which is something that we, all of us on the national staff, must sign when we come to work for the organization.
Okay, Lisa, are you speaking in favor or opposed to referral?
I'm in favor of referral.
I'd like to get an
I oppose referral.
That's right. So you're in favor.
Okay, I'm in favor of referral because I think, first of all, I'm all for definitely having people sign a confidentiality agreement. And sometimes I just think it's good that anything that gets written needs to at least be looked at by a lawyer and some kind of committee to make sure that there's not a word in there that should not be in there that could change things. But also just to speak to the point in a moment that even though this might be California law and it might be the bylaws, based on what I have seen coming out of from LSB members and stuff like that, there's a lot of people who don't know. This is something that they'd have in their hands, something signed, something you can't say you didn't understand, making sure everybody is aware of it. So they can't, because a lot of times we all say the bylaws, but everybody has like all these different interpretations of the bylaws. So I'm for it for that reason. I'm for the confidentiality, but I think it should be referred just to make sure that all the language is clear and that there's nothing in there that's a little,
Would like to speak opposed?
Just kind of clarification.
Go ahead.
I run it by our general counsel, and to make sure that this is in written in good faith and it conforms to the standards that we have. This is already an existing policy just like that in all our radio stations. Management side, they have it, something like this. And so for the governance side of it, this is just very, very exactly just like the one for our management side. And I said if it's good for them, why it could be not good for our governance side as well. So
I'll take that as an opposition. Okay, we're going to vote. All those in favor of referring this item to the governance committee, please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, yes.
Opposed?
I have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
That motion fails. Passes, excuse me. That is referred. Okay, now we are at...
Is it referred to government?
Hang on just a second. Yeah. I got to look at the schedule. There were a couple of process motions that I was going to bring. We'll do that in the next meeting. The motions on political statements. Before I do that, is there any other new business?
Yes.
Go ahead, Michael.
I make a motion that the PNB chair be allowed to appoint conveners and notify the directors of appointments by email.
Is there a second?
Second. Any objection?
Second.
Okay, so I'll appoint the conveners and notify everyone by email in the next day or so.
The committee convenes.
Okay, so any other news?
Yesterday, the results of the committees that were established, we took votes on. There were only two committees. The results were announced. And what about the results for the other committees?
All candidates for all other committees were elected. the secretary in the minutes, I think these minutes are going to be ready quickly. That'll be distributed. Let's see. Oh, yes, the political statements before us. We're lucky. We actually recovered some time. So there are a motion by Schrell to add motion of Schrell on censorship of journalists. Motion by Prescott and Byrne regarding Haiti. Motion by Prescott regarding Lieutenant Aaron Watada. Motion by Ruffin regarding Troy Anthony Davis. And a motion by Byrd on a resolution on the support of the congressional resolution in opposition to the war. I'm going to ask that each of those be read serially and that we adopt as a consent calendar, which means if you have problems with any of them, you request removal from the calendar, and we'll debate that by itself, okay? And so first, I'm going to, if you'll each read your motions, and then after that, we'll also hear the motivations.
Okay, I passed out, a couple of weeks ago, I sent you all a copy of this letter in support of...
Read the motion.
I move that Pacifica sign on to the attached letter in support of the independent journalist subpoenaed to testify for the prosecution in the court-martial of Lieutenant Aaron Watada, and that the executive director is instructed to write an editorial on this subject ASAP to be aired on all five Pacifica stations and any affiliates who would like to use it. Now I read the letter. The editorial doesn't have to be this. We're going to give this to the ED to write the editorial, but it says... The Pacifica Foundation objects to the Army's decision to subpoena independent journalist and radio producer Sarah Olson and Honolulu Star Bulletin reporter Greg Kakesako to testify in the court-martial of 1st Lieutenant Aaron Watada, the first officer to publicly refuse to deploy to Iraq. We are further disturbed by the Army's decision to add independent journalist Dar Jamel and videographer Sari Gelzer to the prosecution's witness list. It is a journalist's job to report the news, not to participate in government prosecutions. The press cannot function if it is used by the government to prosecute political speech, and hauling a journalist into a military court erodes the separation between government and press. Turning reporters into the investigative arm of the government subverts press freedoms and chills dissenting speech in the United States. The press must preserve its ability to cover all aspects of a debate, not just the perspectives popular with the current administration. We believe a journalist's duty is to the public and their right to know, not to the government. In the name of the cornerstone values this nation claims to uphold and for which the men and women in the military are fighting, we ask you to drop the speech-related charges against Lieutenant Watada and put an end to your insistence that journalists participate in the prosecution of these charges. We need more information, participation, and debate inside and outside the military, not less. As the LA Times argued in its January 8th editorial, it's time for the Army to back on.
Okay, thank you. Margaret, will you please read your motions?
Both of them?
Both.
Okay, I'll start with the one on Haiti, which I think was the first to be introduced yesterday, and then the one on Lieutenant Watada.
The Pacifica National Board hereby resolves to support the February 7th International Day in Solidarity with Haiti. February 7th, 2007 will be the 21st anniversary of the fall of the Duvalier regime. On that date, mobilizations will take place in over 30 cities around the world, responding to a call put out by Fondation 30, September 30th Foundation, and many other grassroots organizations in Haiti. These coordinated international protests demand an end to the brutal United Nations occupation of Haiti, freedom for hundreds of political prisoners arrested during the 2004-2006 coup, and the return of former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who remains exiled in South Africa. The climate of violence induced by the continuing military occupation of Haiti has also had a terrible personal impact on Pacifica National Board member Ray LaForest this past week. On Monday, January 22nd, Henri Robert LaForest, Ray's older brother, was fatally shot through the heart while leaving a bank in Pétionville. Ray is demanding a thorough investigation. Henri LaForest, along with Ray, had been very active in both Haiti and New York in the struggles against the Duvalier dictatorships in the 1960s and 70s. Henri was also a constant presence in the mobilizations in New York and Washington, D.C. during the 1991-1994 coup against President Aristide. At the time of Henri's killing, Ray was organizing for the February 7th demonstration in front of the United Nations headquarters in New York. In solidarity with Ray LaForest and the late Henri LaForest, the Pacifica National Board reaffirms our commitment to their goals of justice, democracy, and sovereignty in Haiti. We will give our full support to the February 7th International Day of Solidarity with the people of Haiti. And there was a sentence that you don't have in front of you. All of this was checked, including this additional sentence with legal counsel. And we encourage all Pacifica stations and affiliates to cover the impact of the occupation of Haiti as well as the movement opposed to it. Okay. The other one, draft resolution in support of Lieutenant Aaron Watada. Whereas Lieutenant Aaron Watada, a Hawaiian of Chinese and Japanese descent, is the first commissioned officer to publicly refuse deployment to Iraq based on his conviction that the war is illegal and immoral, and that it is his duty under U.S. and international law to refuse illegal orders. And whereas the Bush administration is carrying out the Iraq war, in direct opposition to the sentiment of the majority of the world, including the United States, as the recent U.S. election demonstrated. And whereas, while the war has resulted in at least 650,000 Iraqi lives and more than 3,000 lives of U.S. soldiers and the devastation of a whole society, mass disability, destruction of families, communities, and livelihoods, and whereas the Bush administration is currently spending $8.4 billion a month on continuing and expanding this war, resources which could be used for the care of people and the planet, and whereas the U.S. mainstream media, with few exceptions, have propagated the Bush administration's positions on the Iraq war, and whereas Lieutenant Watada is facing up to 6 years in jail on charges of missing a movement and conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman, 4 years alone for public statements he has made against the war and calling on other soldiers to act on their conscience. And whereas this is the first time since 1965 that the military is openly prosecuting an objector for his opinions. And whereas the military court has refused to drop charges against Lieutenant Watada's speech and ruled that Lieutenant Watada cannot defend, give evidence validating his reasons for refusing to go to Iraq. And therefore, be it resolved that the National Board of Pacifica Radio support Lieutenant Watada's right to his position of conscience, as well as his request to be allowed to resign from the military and receive an honorable discharge. Further, we oppose military court attempts to subpoena journalists to testify against Lieutenant Watada. We encourage all Pacifica stations and affiliates to cover the court-martial of Lieutenant Watada, the work of his mother, Carolyn Ho, his father, stepmother, and other supporters. Any appeals that might follow his military trial, related protests, and other events in support of justice for Lieutenant Watada, as well as to share information about the growing national and international movement of those who refuse to go to war.
Okay. The next is Thomas Ruffin.
Thank you very much. And I certainly appreciate the kind people who, at the last minute, typed up my mess.
And so, for those who read this and saw a couple of typing errors, that's my responsibility. I apologize. And then right on the first line, you see the year 1001. That's my responsibility. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to read this. Whereas in 1991, Troy Anthony Davis, a black man who was a native of Savannah, Georgia, was wrongly convicted and sentenced to death in Georgia for the murder in August 1989 of a white police officer. Whereas at Mr. Davis's trial in 1991, the prosecutor, a white prosecutor, struck a disproportionately large number of black people from the jury pool and thereby denied Mr. Davis a fair trial. Whereas at Mr. Davis's trial, the government relied on 15 witnesses who were not police officers in order to obtain a conviction and death sentence against Mr. Davis. Whereas after Mr. Davis's 1991 trial, 13 of these same government witnesses, recanted their testimony against Mr. Davis, with some actually confessing to perjury, with some actually identifying a man named Red Coles as the actual murderer, and with some additional witnesses disclosing at least two different confessions to the murder by this same Red Coles. Whereas the courts nevertheless refused to acknowledge this proof of Troy Davis's actual innocence and have decided to allow him to be executed, although that would be a grave injustice against an innocent man. Be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board firmly requires each of the five radio stations to report on this injustice against Troy Anthony Davis in their news and public affairs programming, and to do so on an immediate basis, beginning immediately, and to do so with an effort to expose this injustice to the public and with the hope of saving Troy Davis's life. And be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board firmly requires each of the five Pacifica radio stations to broadcast editorials calling for an immediate reversal of Troy Davis's conviction and calling for his immediate release from prison. And finally, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board urges Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News to investigate this particular case against Troy Davis, to report on it thoroughly, and to broadcast editorials in favor of reversing Troy Davis's conviction.
Okay, motion by Byrd.
Some of it I changed in one sentence.
Go ahead.
Be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board support the resolution of the U.S. Senate to oppose the Bush administration's decision to send 21,000 more U.S. troops to the war and the occupation of Iraq, as well as legislation to cut off funds for continuing the war and occupation. Be it resolved further that the Pacifica National Board issue an emergency appeal to the people of the United States as well as the U.S. government to adopt a diplomatic solution to resolve the armed conflict in Iraq and to withdraw immediately U.S. troops.
Okay, now I would like to make a recommendation. The number of these is such that if each were read regularly in carts on our air, we would basically be asking of our stations a great deal. Either each one would receive little airplay or by itself. Or worse. So I would recommend that we ask our executive director to draft a statement that summarizes each of the main points and submit it to us basically immediately as a cart to be aired on the stations, and that we post the full text of all these resolutions up on the website, and that the cart indicate the substance of it along with the presence of the full text on the website so that it can be effectively, each of these can be effectively transmitted by the by board. That's my recommendation. But we said it's a consent calendar, so who would like to take some off? First, Lydia, who's hand I saw first, then
yes,
Margaret Ruff.
I was going to say that I think that we need to use the word encourage because we don't have a must-carry policy as such, although we have done it with editorials. But I think that what is really critical is the follow-through, and so I would like to amend this, whether we end up with the CART recommendation that you mentioned or take them singularly, that there be an amended process whereby at our March meeting, telephone meeting, that we have a report back, like a report card, on what each station, and we have four directors at each station that can monitor how they have responded to this board's asking them to address these issues in a substantive way and report back to this board. And then we should determine where we go from there in terms of these types of situations.
Okay, on time, it is 3 o'clock. Do we want an extension of time to deal with these issues?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, 50 minutes. Nathan, as you go back there, can you find out whether we can be here another 15 minutes? Okay, is there any objection to the 15 minutes? Seeing none, Margaret, then Rob, then Chandra, then Wendy.
Yeah, on the question of a writing of a summary of the resolutions, I mean, the two resolutions that I've put forward, I would be glad to submit a summary to the ED, who I'm sure has his hands full with many other tasks, you know, for him to circulate or whatever. And also, Tomas, I will commit to getting a segment up as soon as possible on the morning drive time show that I do on the case that you have brought forward, and I would hope that others would make a similar, you know,
Margaret,
commitment.
Could we ask that each of the makers of each of these resolutions submit a basically a précis, a couple of sentences, so that the five can be combined into a single CART that can get substantial airplay, as opposed to having each motion only aired once or twice?
Absolutely.
Is that acceptable to the body? Rob?
Yeah, this goes to the motion that I sent to you several days before, and I sent earlier. I really don't think we're getting the message here. Some of us come from signal areas and stations where we don't have platforms to put this information in front of our listeners. Okay? Not only is it not available on the air, our listeners, our communities, don't know what we're doing. In fact, I would dare say that many people in this signal area don't know what this board is doing. If we believe in the mission, we have to get the message out on the air. How many times do we have to let you know it isn't going out to all of our signal areas? There are not platforms. We are closed shops in many cases. I really wish we would understand that this is a network. We have to act like a network. But we have many, many structural problems, station by station, that prevent these messages from getting out, and people don't know what we're doing.
My apologies. Rob is quite correct. He asked this to be on the agenda, and this should have been the section it's in. I didn't have it in my notes. So I would like to terminate this discussion in 5 minutes so we can consider the motion that Rob had submitted. Who is next? Lisa, go ahead.
I just want to say, and this doesn't speak directly to this, but I think it's important to bring it up now, and especially to let the new board members know that about the motion that was passed in December, calling for there to, you know, condemning the vicious acts of police brutality that has been going on across this nation, and calling for there to be for the motion to be read on the air, and encouraging the stations to follow and to support the call for. For congressional hearings on this issue. And I might be correct, because as I'm looking through your report, Greg, I saw where you talked about the habeas corpus, but I didn't see where anything was done about that. But I just want to make sure, because I know we have new directors on the board, and to just, you know, make everybody aware about this motion. And I support Lydia's comment that we have to follow up to make sure that this is happening, because we are a state. We know the Pacific Commission. And like I said, many of us on this board are, well, all of us are affected by it, but many of us are living it. And I'm on this board because of what goes on in my community, and to make sure that other, it doesn't get treated the way other stations do, which is to ignore it and to act like it's not happening. So I just wanted to inform the new directors about this and to support Lydia's strong thing about making sure that this follow-up and also make sure that motion doesn't just slide through. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So
Chandra.
Just want to remind people. Thank you.
Two comments.
We have a man here facing execution. I respectfully request that a separate precis be prepared on that and that be handled separately from the combined other motions because of the immediacy of that situation. And secondly, I just suggest that maybe the National Program Coordinator would like to get his feet wet with going around and working collaboratively with the five station managers about carrying the message of the foundation about getting these kinds of issues discussed on the air in CARTS as well as on public affairs programs to have the people represented in these, you know, the families of victims, et cetera, interviewed, lawyers, whatever, the relevant parties.
If you want that, you need to make a motion, and we need to move on it quickly.
Could you prepare it for the next
Margaret?
Yeah, just by offer of resource, it just occurred to me that I will be at the Lieutenant Watata's court-martial, not representing the station or Pacifica. I'll just be there as a support for the family and his mother in particular. But if anybody is interested in getting, you know, any firsthand information about what is happening, I'd be glad to try to find some time to be able to do that and also to be able to get people a list of contacts of the organizers of the events in the different cities around Haiti so that if you're looking for somebody on the ground in Haiti or in San Francisco or the Caribbean, you could have it.
Wendy.
My thing is two parts. One, I just want us to sign on to this letter in support of these people in a formal way. A lot of you signed individually, but I just like to add the Pacifica Foundation's name to it. And the rest, you know, I asked for an editorial because this is about independent journalists being attacked by the government, which is what we are. And since this happened, since these people were subpoenaed to testify against Watata, I understand from Dan Siegel that the government has come to KPFA asking for files from one of their shows. So it's starting to be a trend that these people are being attacked by just for interviewing these people that are standing up for war. So that's why I'm asking for an editorial. And it doesn't really say must carry. It says to be aired. I could change it to for air, and they can decide if they want to play it or not.
Our problem is that I can guarantee you that every person who's taken the time to put forth a motion feels it to be of primary importance. So the question is whether we are going to put forth five separate statements and request each of them be aired separately, or whether we're going to use the power of the repetition of a message to achieve the goal. And I'm violating the rule of the chair, but I want to speak strongly in favor of having each person write a summary. It is not as though these issues aren't going to be carried broadly on all our stations all the time. I hear this all the time on our station. So I would like to suggest that we adopt a statement, and I will yield the chair because in mid-speech, I want to adopt each of these statements, the political text of each of these statements, and request that each of the authors submit to the executive director text for incorporation into a CART to be provided to all the stations. And that full text be placed on the National Board website.
That's the motion. Second? Who seconded the motion?
It was already seconded.
I definitely support this motion. I would like to call the question and
second
on it.
Hold it, man. Point of privilege. Point of privilege. I have my question, my hand up on the issue.
Hold
and I made a motion about a man's life. Point of privilege.
We've been really nice to each other. Just before we leave, we've got to go stay calm out of here. Okay.
Gracias.
Okay.
In Mexico.
All right. Here's the motion, who's the next person on there? Okay, go ahead, Thomas.
What I wanted to suggest is that rather than debate Greg's motion that's been seconded, let's adopt it, but not as a substitute. let's adopt the separate motions and use Greg as the effective vehicle to make sure that we have something that might be dealt with at each station expeditiously, and then leave it on the proponents of the motions that I hope that everybody was unanimously adopting to come up with the mechanism based on the advice of all the board on how to put these, was it five different motions, into effect on an individual basis. But we can as a board, look towards Dave's mechanism as being most effective.
Okay,
because I think everybody's put on the table some very important issues. This isn't really the main thing we do on the board, but I appreciate that this board.
Thank you for all your ideas. What I want to know is, was there somebody here who called the question here?
I did.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Yes, my
okay.
darling.
Well, then it was seconded by somebody.
Dave seconded it.
Oh,
I heard second.
Okay. Then the debate now. So now we're talking about.
Are we done with our agenda?
Is there any objections to closing debate?
Let's just do it. Ask if there's an objection.
Okay. So,
I move to amend that motion as I just outlined.
And I don't
Now we're going to vote on the debate. Are we closing that debate?
I object to closing the debate.
All right, so you can vote against it.
I make.
So what was your amendment?
So, all right, so we're going to call the roll on it. How many people are in favor of closing the debate? Let me show, see the hands.
Wait. We're running out of time, and I just want to get something done.
How many people are in favor of closing the debate?
Yeah.
Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
How many people are against closing debate? Okay, the debate is closed.
Opposed to closing debate. One, two. Two no.
Okay, so it takes two-thirds to close debate. So we hit two-thirds, so the debate is closed. So let's go to the motion here. Let's vote on that.
Question.
Okay, go ahead.
That
information?
Dave's motion, I understand, that's an amended motion that takes precedent over, that subsumes what we all proposed individually. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's right.
It's combined.
It's a whole amended motion, whatever.
It's kind of a substitute.
It's a substitute because
some of the motions included actions, and what this substitutes is this action.
You got 5 minutes.
Okay, substitute motion. Okay. 5 minutes? Okay, we have 5 minutes.
Other things can be done.
We're voting on a substitute motion here. So
let's call the vote.
Could you read it, Dave? Could you read that? Substitute motion here. Just a second. Hold it.
That the PNB adopt the political position statements put forth by Prescott, Schrell, Ruffin, and Byrd.
Yeah, okay.
That the authors forward to the ED a summary statement for incorporation into a CART for airing at the five Pacifica stations, and that the full text be placed on the foundation website.
Okay. So that's the substitute motion. All those in favor of the substitute motion?
Can anybody who's in favor please raise your hand?
Andy, you could ask.
All those in favor of the substitute motion.
Are there any objections? Why don't you ask for objections?
Any objections to the substitute motion?
Just a second.
Any objections?
I did have.
You object?
Just before you called the objection, I did. There was a little bit of chatter. I did not hear whether Dave also talked about the publishing of the motions on the.
Yes.
He did. Okay. I just wanted you.
Okay. Any objection to the substitute motion? No. Substitute motion passes. And good night. And any motion to adjourn?
No.
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 He's got a vote on
no,
the
no.
Go ahead.
We've got. I want. We're going to put Rob's motion at least on the floor, so it will come.
Why don't we do it when there's time to circulate it? It's not going to be clear to me.
My apologies. What is it?
That the executive directors direct the national program coordinator to work with the station managers, program directors, and the public affairs and news staffs to ensure that the PNB political motions passed at the January PNB meeting receive the widest coverage on all the news on all the stations, PA, and news shows in compliance with Pacifica's mission.
Is there a second?
Second.
Right. I'd like to either postpone or bring it to a vote right now. May we bring it to a vote?
Yes.
All those. Is there any opposition to the motion?
I would just like to add December and January so we could include the one that we passed in December.
Any objection to that amendment?
Second amendment.
Okay, can we adopt this by unanimous consent?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Does anybody feel like adjourning?
Yeah.
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Thanks to the chair.
adopted by Brooke and Boston.
Oh, God, yeah. Dave, print out my order back.